I think the first step is understanding the end goal. What are you trying to achieve? And understanding where you want to go so you can create that roadmap. Another really important step that I think is often overlooked is if we're talking about the patient journey. The patient journey is very, very lengthy and it touches multiple departments. If this department wants to make an improvement, they can't make that improvement in that silo. They have to really understand the entire journey because this change could impact something upstream or downstream.
This episode of Vital Conversations is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Tim Cohen, and welcome to Vital Conversations, presented by Focus Solutions. This is where we talk to physician practice leaders from around the country in a lot of different veins about what they're doing and how they're working to make healthcare better. I'm really thrilled this morning because our guest is not only a woman who's very accomplished, but a longtime friend. And we used to work together 100 years ago, and neither one of us will tell how long that was. Welcome, Kelly Poole. Kelly, thanks for being on Vital Conversations.
Oh, thank you, Tim. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's great. Great to have you. Kelly, you've got a really interesting background, a little different than some of our guests. Why don't you, first of all, just tell us about you professionally, and then we'll work our way to what you're doing today.
Yeah, sure. So I have a nursing background. And like you mentioned, we used to work together many, many years ago. And I have to say, working for you was such a pleasure. You always created such a warm and welcoming environment for us to experiment and get things right and get things wrong. And you were always just so kind. So thank you for creating that for all of us.
Check Venmo for the payment. That was awesome.
Right. So I've been in healthcare for 20 years and I currently work for a healthcare organization. I'm the vice president of operational excellence and transformation. This is a large practice on the East Coast and I've been there for quite some time. And my latest adventure is I've created a healthcare consultancy where I work with healthcare companies to accelerate growth through process improvement.
I want to go back actually to where you and I originally met and got to work together, because you were one of those very early nurses that had migrated toward the implementation of technology, toward process improvement, to kind of bring what a lot of us on the technical side of life do on behalf and for clinicians, but needing that clinical mindset. What was it that caused you to, you know, want to leave traditional at the bedside nursing and kind of come to this intersection of clinical care and process and technology?
It's such a good question. I'm not exactly sure how that transition happened, but it's been such an interesting journey. So I was a nurse working in the hospital for about 6-7 years. Really great environment. I learned a lot. Really high pressure job. And I stepped away from that because I saw other people with nursing backgrounds doing other things that I thought was really interesting. And what I stepped into was clinical research. And that's so process focused. And I really loved that. I loved that the project sponsor would give you a protocol and you had to create the how. They just said, this is the end game. We need you to create the how. And I became sort of the creator of the how for all of our different research projects for the company. And that just ballooned into, I would seek out other opportunities where I could be creative. I could solve problems. I could create process for people and then see this outcome of what I created.
Let's talk about one like very specific place of process that's obviously of interest to us. 15 years ago, the High Tech Act comes in and practices began buying their electronic health record for the first time. And we started automating. And there was a lot of thinking that if I just buy and implement the software, like everything is fine. And you sort of stepped in and go, wait a second, there's this piece called the process that has got to work hand in glove with the technology and vice versa. Talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what you've learned over the years, particularly with physician practices trying to deploy technology where they either forget or stumble, or on the positive side, have opportunities when they think process first and not software first.
Right. And I see that so often that everyone thinks technology is the quick solve and AI is kind of the buzzword now. automate all of your processes with AI. But if you don't have the process, it's very hard to know what you need to tell AI to automate. And in the hospital environment, when we started implementing EMRs years ago, the physician was very reluctant to join in that technology. And I think where I was successful in those conversations was I was clinical and I was able to say, I've been there. I know what this feels like, but I have an understanding on the technology side over here. And I was able to be the translator between the clinical side and the technology side and was very successful in getting physicians to buy into that implementation. But what we also really had to do was understand what was their process and how do we optimize it and then implement that in the technology. So the technology is there just to support your process. It doesn't create your process for you.
Right. Though oftentimes, I think sometimes people will let the tail wag the dog, right? They're like, well, there's something implied in the technology and you try to force fit it as opposed to the other way around. What are your processes? And then how do we make the technology fit? I'm guessing that's actually probably a better conversation, not only with clinicians, but also people in the practice, because process is actually what they do every day. So when you come at them with process first, do you get a different level of engagement, a different level of understanding?
You do, because you're not just putting technology in and saying, we're now going to change everything that we're doing. We're doing it this way. It's this is how we do it. And this is how we're going to transition that same work into technology for the additional support. But that mistake happens all the time. I see it so often. And I actually just made this mistake a few months ago where I was implementing a new piece of technology and I forgot to ask a really simple question of there was a button that we needed to click. Well, who has access to that button? Only the physician. But who's doing the process? Only the medical assistant. So we implemented this entire process and we forgot this one little piece because we didn't really clearly map out how is the technology going to replicate real life? And it didn't. And the technology company said, this is how we do it. And real life said, this is how we do it. And we could not meet. We couldn't move forward with the technology.
How'd you solve it?
We're not moving forward with the technology. We're moving back to doing it the old way. You know, it's a process to check prescriptions for a patient, and we can go to a website and do it. And this company said, we can make it really easy for you if you implement this thing. It didn't replicate real life, so we couldn't implement it.
And I think a lot of physician practices would echo that frustration, because it's not just the EMR over the last 15 years, it's all the bolt-ons that sometimes are built by technologists who don't understand the process. And just one little speed bump like that that you can't get over can derail the whole thing. I want to talk about two 25-cent words you've used that are central to your work. One is optimization, one is standardization. Let's start with optimization. You talked a lot about optimize first and then use the technology to either enhance the optimization or to cement it. What do you run across when you're trying to optimize a process? Where are some of either the biggest opportunities or the biggest sticking points around that first critical step of optimization?
I think the first step is understanding the end goal. What are you trying to achieve? And understanding where you want to go so you can create that roadmap. Another really important step that I think is often overlooked is if we're talking about the patient journey. The patient journey is very, very lengthy and it touches multiple departments. If this department wants to make an improvement, they can't make that improvement in that silo. They have to really understand the entire journey because this change could impact something upstream or downstream.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's funny, even in a relatively small office, there's just a lack of awareness of, I throw something over the wall, I have no idea what that does to somebody on this side. The other one I want to talk about, though, this one can be a little bit controversial, is around standardization, which doesn't sound controversial, but as we migrate from small independent practices, right, the old one country doctor with a small staff and the process was whatever is in someone's head. Now, as practices consolidate, particularly with the growing presence of private equity, and we start to look at standardization and implementation of best practices and those kind of things. This is a big deal. It's hard. but a lot of people are pursuing it. What would you reflect on from a standardization standpoint that are the big challenges if you're trying to standardize processes across multiple locations of care?
I think the biggest one is trying to tell healthcare providers how to practice. And so they're the expert in that field. They're the expert in the four walls of that exam room. You've really got to let them be the leader and act as the support. So you're supporting them while they're doing the thing that they do best, and helping them understand that's really what you're here for. You're here to standardize everything that happens with the patient up to the point when they sit in that exam chair. So how do they schedule? How are they registered? What's the intake like with the medical assistant? Then let the doctor be the doctor. And then after that encounter's over, then it's how do we collect payment? How do we schedule follow-ups? Standardization on the other side as well.
So it's standardizing all around that clinical moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we're right.
Letting doctors be doctors. That's really what it comes down to. And that's why they want to be doctors. They don't want to be business people. They don't want to be operational. They just want that time with their patient.
Yeah. How do you manage though when standardization is moving into clinical best practice or evidence-based care? And this is one of the things physicians have complained about, even independent of technology. On the other hand, lots of folks are like, well, there's tremendous variance in clinical practice and outcomes that can't all be of equal efficacy. So when you cross into that, this is no longer just a process, but now we're starting to talk about you should do this exam or you should not do that diagnostic.
Right.
How do you navigate those waters?
It's really tough. There, I think it's about providing options. There are multiple ways to do any one thing and allowing that flexibility, giving the providers that flexibility and knowing when to push and when to pause. Some things you really have to push on. We don't leave sharps on the tray, period. We don't do that. You can't do that. Someone's going to get hurt, but we do allow you to decide which medication you're going to choose or which procedure you're going to choose. There's multiple ways to treat any individual diagnosis. So allow them to do that.
Okay. I want to talk about both your primary job and your new venture. So you do this for a living. You're not a theoretician. I don't know if that's a word. You are working to roll out optimization and standardization across a very large organization. How many locations or providers does Swigger have, for example, where?
So we have 120-ish offices. Okay. It changes right. Often.
Let me say, this is not a theoretical construct for you that you're delivering from the classroom. But from years of doing that, now you've launched the improvement space. Tell me a little bit about that and what you're trying to do, who you're trying to serve.
Yeah. So I feel like I've been very successful in what I do at Schweiger Dermatology. We've grown rapidly. I've been with the company for 9 years and I really enjoy that. I enjoy that problem solving. And I watch our company hire consultants in areas where we have gaps and we need that knowledge. And it's been very successful. And I thought I could offer this to other people. I've done it on a very informal basis for 10 years. And so I decided to formalize it and give it a name and give it a website. And it's been such a great experience. I've learned so much. And I'm so focused on my day-to-day, my 9-to-5, this is how I do things. And it's actually made me better at my job, learning how other people are doing things and the problems that they're experiencing, because they're all so similar. You know, the specialty might be different or the names are different, but down to the same problem.
So two final questions then. First of all, when should somebody think about calling you? What's going through their head when they go, maybe Kelly could help?
Right. So I think if we back up one step and we just talk about, what is process improvement and why is it important? And I think, defining a process, it can be as small as how do you take money at the storefront to as large as how do you open a brand new medical office. And as long as you have a process, you've documented how to do the thing, you've taught people how to do it, you hold people accountable, and then you measure that success, you can it opens up the floodgates. You can scale, you can become viral overnight, and you've got the infrastructure to support that. So once you can nail the process, you're able to grow as fast as your demand is asking you to grow. So to nail a process, I think the first thing you need to do is find an expert in that field who you may not have somebody on the inside. And I think that's a really important thing to understand, that it's okay to look outside for help. You may not need a full-time process improvement person. You may need help for 6 months or 3 months to build something out. And then the next thing, that if you have a problem, my favorite quote is the Einstein quote. If you have an hour to solve a problem, spend 55 minutes understanding the problem and 5 minutes thinking about the solution. And that is something that I think is a specific skill, to look at the full scope of the problem, not just my department. Yeah. You know, an example is you have an increase in denials, insurance denials, because you're hearing the denials coming back, your providers aren't credentialed or they're out of network. Why is that happening? Where do you start? If you look at the entire patient journey, you'll find multiple areas where that problem can actually originate. Is it the scheduler didn't have access to who was credentialed on what? Is it the provider actually isn't credentialed because the credentialing team didn't think to put them on this particular plan? Okay. And so really understanding and having that ability to dig into the full scope, the full patient journey, and finding where all those gaps might be. And then creating a solution. Once you've spent way more time understanding the problem than you do actually creating the solution.
Right.
So if you have a problem you're trying to solve and you're not sure where to begin, I think that's when you call somebody. Call somebody and just to have the conversation to get you started.
Fantastic. So how do people find you?
The website is theimprovementspace.com. And my email is kellypoole@theimprovementspace. I'm also on LinkedIn. Just Kelly Poole on LinkedIn.
Kelly, thank you. Thanks for just sharing that unique perspective as a clinician with operations and IT and process, kind of all the mortar that sits between the bricks that we think about, you know, in the IT side of the world, and for making your services available for practices that might need you. It's been a joy to catch up. Thanks and have a great day.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.